May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 614. The Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. Hymn 614.
Thank you. us read from the Word of God. Two portions of Scripture, first from Psalm 39, and we will read the first seven verses, then a few verses from Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. First reading from Psalm 39, the first seven verses. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, reading from chapter 9. We will read from verse 11. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, reading from verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May the Lord bless those two readings of his word of truth to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, once more we would approach unto thee, but Lord, we come to bow our unworthy heads before thee. Thou knowest the things, Lord, that burden us and try our poor hearts, Lord. And Lord, truly those things, even newly contracted sins this day, word, thought, and deed. And Lord, the solemn truth that sin is mixed in all that we think and do and say. And Lord, so often we feel that sin, as it appears to be such a great part of us in our lives here below. Oh, it was the trouble with thy servant Paul, a very gracious, God-fearing man, and yet in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And oh, the trouble that when he would do good, evil was present with him. Lord, we feel it to be so, but oh, there is mercy with thee. Oh, that mercy that is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the solemn truth, Lord, what if thou were to mark iniquity? Who can stand? But oh, the mercy, Lord, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O Lord, we do thank thee that we have known and felt that mercy, that pardon and forgiveness, that mercy that the publican found, that mercy that he did plead, and that mercy indeed only upon that blessed and glorious cross, even Jesus, the only mercy for poor sinners, that mercy that flowed through his precious blood, to cleanse and to heal. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And, O Lord, he went forth to his house justified. O Lord, thou hast spoken in thy word, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Lord, mercy is with thee. And Lord, we have sung together of one indeed, that is a righteous one, an upright one, a just one. And that publican went forth to his house justified. And Lord, that is the mercy, to stand whole and complete through the perfect obedience and merits of thy dearly beloved Son. O Lord, what great mercy is found through thy cross at Calvary. O Lord, we thank thee that thou dost bear long with us. And Lord, in respect of our continued sins and offences against thee, but thou knowest, Lord, in our heart of hearts, that we would not sin, that we would not offend against thee. Thou knowest, Lord, that we hate our sins. We hate ourselves for our sins. Thou knowest, Lord, and we come, thou knowest, likened unto thy servant Job. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And Lord, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that there is indeed that wonderful measure, that provision in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save lost sinners and to forgive them for all their sins. Lord, we once more truly believe that the whole of the gospel is centered in and upon two great blessings, love and forgiveness. And Lord, what a mercy that is. God's love to sinners, and that love shown in the person of his dearly beloved Son, and forgiveness to every one of them who through him are brought to see their need as sinners. Love and forgiveness. O Lord, we know that there is an experience to be walked out. But we do believe, Lord, that love and forgiveness is the blessing of the gospel. Oh, do help us, Lord, to resort to thee. Do help us, Lord, to come to that blessed and glorious place, Lord, burdened and sorrowing, respect of all our sins and iniquities. And Lord, if thou hast begun a good work, if thou hast troubled and burdened our spirit with sin, then thou hast bidden the sinner to come unto me. All ye that labour, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, O Lord. No rest, no peace, outside of the merits, the blood, the cross of Christ. We do thank thee, Lord, for the mercy that sinners can find in a precious Christ at Calvary. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast enabled us to come to the means of grace in this midweek evening service. Lord, we deem it indeed to be a privilege, may it be an opportunity, a blessed to each one of us. But oh, we do pray, Lord, that it may be a well and truly and worthy sacrifice to come and spend an hour in thy house of prayer and under thy word of truth. Oh, that, Lord, help us to continue to come, for, Lord, we do not know when thou wilt speak a blessing into our poor souls. And truly, Lord, we have come this evening to seek a word in season, to seek some portion for our souls, whereby our souls might live and have life, and have it more abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we do pray that our time spent together indeed shall be a good and a profitable time, Lord, around thy word, Lord, and pray that thou wilt appear to every one of us in a very real and personal way, Lord. Oh, if we come, Lord, poor and needy, if we come, Lord, hungering and thirsting, if that, Lord, is the case indeed, then, Lord, thou hast put that hungering and thirsting within us. It isn't in us, in and of ourselves, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may know that hungering and thirsting for thyself, for thy word, and in particular, Lord, the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins. Oh, this indeed must be the joyful sound of the gospel. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. And Lord, there is no more greater blessing than this joyful sound than to know our peace and pardon through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, a joyful sound, truly indeed, to those brought to feel their need of Jesus. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound, the hymnist declares. Oh, that we may each know the blessing this evening, our Lord, of that pardon and forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, do draw near to each poor needy case this evening, we pray thee, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt bless each with a word in season for their souls, Lord. A word, Lord, to lift them up, Lord. A word to encourage in their faith, Lord. A word, Lord, perhaps in the time of affliction, trouble and trial here below, that thou wilt not leave nor forsake thy people, but thou wilt bear them up and deliver them and carry them through, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, come to each and every one of thy poor people this evening hour. And oh, pray, Lord, that indeed the word may be a word applied through spirit and power into the soul. Only thou, Lord, canst open the doors of our heart, as thou didst open the heart of Lydia. And Lord, we do pray that each heart may be open to hear and to receive thy word, that, Lord, none should be sent empty away, Lord, none should be left destitute of any one good thing, Lord, we pray thee, all good things come from thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, then draw near to each poor needy soul. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us thus far through another day. O Lord, thou hast been that one to keep and to preserve and to watch over us in all our way and path here below. Oh, that we were made more conscious, Lord, of thy gracious dealings with us. Oh, thou art ever present and near to thy people, Lord. The promise that was given to thy servant Jacob is a promise given to each of thy people today. I will be with thee and keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Oh, have we known and felt thy presence this day, Lord? Have we been brought safely through this day, Lord, because we have been found under thy care, thy keeping, thy preservation, oh, kept under thy power, Lord? Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be made more conscious, Lord, of thy gracious dealings with us, that thou art ever with and near to thy people. They are the apple of thine eye. They are the purchase of thy precious blood. Thou dost own them, Lord, because thou didst give thy life for them, Lord, and they're so dear to thee, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we might feel that oneness with thee, Lord, and Lord, to show to us again and again, Lord, our belonging unto thee, if it would be thy gracious will, that we're not our own, that we're bought with a price, the price of thine own heart's blood. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to come and to work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Help us to continue our course here below in thy name and in thy name alone. And help us, Lord, in all that is in our way and path to commit our whole cause and interest into thine ever merciful hands, Lord, to commit our all to thee, Lord, to trust alone in that all-worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Indeed, who is the rock of ages, one to lean upon, one to trust in and to confide in here below. O Lord, there are many things, Lord, with each one of us that we cannot tell to another, Lord, but we can tell Thee, Lord. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, that we can come to Thee and tell Thee all our heart, Lord, some things that we could not tell anyone else, Lord, Thou knowest. But, oh, help us to resort to Thee, we pray Thee, Lord, and show Thy mercy to us, Lord. We're not worthy, Lord. We're not deserving that Thou shouldest come and do anything for us, Lord. Oh, it is under Thy rich mercy indeed, Lord, that Thou dost continue with us. And, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, unchanging in Thy love, unchanging in Thy grace and mercy, unchanging in Thy word and in Thy promises to Thy people. And Lord, we make most so many changes. Thou knowest, Lord. O Lord, we cannot keep Thee in our mind. O Lord, we are those indeed soon turned aside, Lord. And we soon forget Thee, Lord. We soon forget Thy word, Lord. Oh, do come and have mercy upon us, Lord. We pray Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, that there is a constancy in Thy love and grace to us, Lord. Oh, but there's nothing constant in ourselves, Lord. Thou knowest. And we have to plead, Lord, and beg for that mercy, Lord, that Thou wilt continue to be with us, and to be that one to uphold us and keep us in the way, Lord. For we cannot keep ourselves, Lord, Thou knowest. Oh, do come then, Lord, and undertake our whole cause and interest as we journey on, Lord. And Lord, we're so poor and weak in and of ourselves. But, O Lord, we do pray, grant Thy quickening spirit upon us, enlighten us, Lord, by and through Thy word, bring us near to Thee this evening, our Lord, we pray Thee, and enlarge our souls upon the blessedness of Thy person, Lord. Oh, we do want, Lord, again some token, Lord, for our poor souls to rest in and upon as we journey forth, another visitation of Thyself, Lord, in our poor hearts. Lord Christ in You, the hope of glory, Lord, that will settle it, Lord. Oh, do come to us, Lord, we pray Thee. Undertake the cause and the interest of each and every one of us, we pray. And, oh Lord, we do pray and thank Thee, Lord, for the being able to come to the means of grace this evening hour, to be able to turn aside and to be able to put everything else down, Lord, and to turn to Thee. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord. Oh, be that altogether lovely one to each and every one of us this evening, our Lord. Oh, look down upon us each, Lord. Bring us, Lord Jesus, to feel to feel after Thee and to look for that mercy that Thou dost promise to Thy people, a mercy which endureth forever, Thy mercies that are new every day, and that mercy that flows through Thy precious sin-atoning blood. Lord, be with each unable to attend this evening hour. We commit each and every one into Thine ever-merciful hands, Lord. Be with them where they are, Lord. Still visit them in Thy salvation, Lord. May there be, even at this time, Lord, if it is able and possible, that there be a turning again unto Thee, Lord, perhaps in prayer and in supplication, perhaps being with us, though not in body but in spirit, Lord, we pray Thee. Oh, do come, Lord, and be with each and every one of them, some taking, Lord, a little rest, a break, a holiday, some are detained by other things, Lord, Thou knowest. But be with them each, Lord, we pray Thee. And visit them, Lord, at this time, we pray, perhaps that their hearts and prayers may be up towards this thy house at this time. It will be a mercy, Lord, the companionship and the union and the felt nearness of each of thy people that dwell together, praying over them. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that it may be thus. Lord, do be with us now, Lord. Help thy servant, Lord, to stand forth in thy name, to speak thy word, teach him by thy spirit, Lord, and lead him into thy truth. O Lord, we look for that gracious help of the Spirit, Lord. O Lord, if there was no Spirit amongst us here, Lord, thy servant should have nothing to say, Lord, and Lord, thy people here would have nothing to hear and to receive, Lord. Oh, do come, Lord, and by thy Spirit take of the things of Jesus, show it unto us. And pray, pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask these mercies in and through that all-precious name, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 620. Sin has a thousand pleasing charms, which flatter to preserve from harms. She richly gilds her pleasing baits, and calls her trash delicious sweets. Hymn 620.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would seek to draw your attention, if the Lord will, to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, reading together from verse 27 and 28. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, and reading by way of a text from verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It may be thought by some of you that you've come to chapel this evening, you've come to hear the word, you've come perhaps to hear something encouraging for faith, you've perhaps come because you want some comfort for your never-dying immortal soul, perhaps you've come seeking another word in season from the Lord, another token of his love and his mercy. You've come to seek him because you want a further confirmation that you're in the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. And yet our subject is death. That is what our subject is, part of it this evening, death. And you may have come to chapel, have I got to sit and hear about death? Is this going to be the subject? Well, dear friends, we've just sung together about the wretched and deceitful heart that we have by nature. Deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. But who can know it is the essential truth. Who can know it? Dear friends, we need to be taught that our hearts is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. We've got a devil nature. And it is the devil himself that is within us. Because if I open up this truth, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, it came from the deceiver of souls, dear friends, the subtle one, the crafty one, the evil one, the serpent, even in the beginning. That is where death came to every one of us, as every one of us are of the, you see, Adam is the federal head and the representative of every one of us here and everyone in the world. He is the federal head and we are his posterity and come forth through him. And death, dear friends, came through him. Through his disobedience to God, he was made upright, perfect. God could create nothing less. But, dear friends, he was under a covenant of works. And it's a covenant of works, dear friends, where our first parents, they were informed and instructed of God that they were not to eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the time or the time that they ate of that fruit, they would die. No, 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 Satan said. The serpent said, no, it won't be like that at all. You know, we can get carried away, can't we? And we're more intended because of this wicked heart of ours, dear friends. And that's what happened to our first parents. They were carried away with what he said. And they forgot what God said. And disobeyed him. And he ate of the fruit. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they died. I just confirm this truth, dear friends. It's good to be able to turn to Scripture and to have the fullest confirmation through the Holy Spirit. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that is where we are, dear friends. Born into this world. Born with this nature that is fallen and wretched and undone, alien to God and enemy to God. And this, dear friends, is the result of this, and it is appointed unto men once to die. I just turn to a word, dear, which was, I believe it's the first indication shown to us that yes, we should die, and that we should pass from this earthly scene. And it's in Genesis chapter 3, if I can just find it. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Corporeal death. And you may be considering, dear friends, well, I've got everything here going for me. I'm happy in my work situation, my vocation here below. I'm content and well satisfied with the way things are. You may think, well, I have much happiness before me, many things to achieve, and many things that we want to accomplish and fulfill here below, many things. Dear friends, continue in them and ask the Lord's blessing upon them. But remember this, it is appointed unto men once to die. Remember it, dear friends. It is an appointment, and it means this. It's something that is laid up. I just thought I would look at the meaning of this word in the Young's Concordance. Generally I do, if I just want to see the meaning of a word. Appointment, you see. This is a divine appointment. And it, as it is appointed unto men once to, it's something that is laid up, waiting, dear friends, for the time to be accomplished. And it's laid up for every one of us. And it doesn't matter, dear friends. Age doesn't matter. There's an appointment for every one of us. That we shall experience and come into this death, the death of our bodies. Of the past few weeks, there's been some awful and dreadful things that have taken, that has come to pass in this land of ours. There was a large concert at Manchester. Those that were run down over a bridge, and others that were run down a little bit later by vans. And then we have the Grenfell block of flats, dear friends, all within a few weeks. People making plans and arrangements, particularly those that went to the concert at Manchester, and all those that went to the concert at Manchester, they all thought and believed that those that very solemnly that their lives were taken, and yes, we do have that compassion and pity. There was a lot of tears, dear friends, a lot of bewailing, bereavement and sorrow, yes. It is well understood. Well understood. But there is a truth which must be understood also. They all thought and believed that they were going to return to their homes that evening. That is what they all believed. Some of them did, but many of them didn't. For it is appointed unto men once to die. They came into this divine appointment. It came upon them. And we're all God's creatures. Every one of us, dear friends, in this world, we're all God's creatures. And we will all come to this truth. And it is appointed for every one of them. Both to the Lord's people and also to the wicked. I can only make those two definitions. We will either be the one or the other. But this truth will come to pass. I thought of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, dear friends. They were waiting to go into the wedding feast, dear friends. Both of the five wise and the five foolish. The five wise, dear friends. They went forth, dear friends, with real substance. They had that, dear friends, where their poor souls rested upon a sure foundation. And that foundation was laid for them in Christ Jesus, even through his cross. Now the five foolish, dear friends, I just want to define this in religion. They were also waiting, you see. And when the door would be open and the bridegroom for the bridegroom into the wedding feast, dear friends, why, they hadn't got the substance in them. There was nothing there, dear friends. They had to go out and buy. And by the time they returned, they still thought the door would be open to them, but no. They had not rested, dear friends, their faith and their love and that seed of heavenly birth wasn't there, dear friends. And so there's an important truth here. And I believe verse 28 will bring us into the truth of what it will take to be blessed. And may it be a prayer for everyone that are here this evening. We do not know what a day may bring forth. It has never been determined in the whole of Holy Scripture from the beginning to the end that we're going to live out our days in old age. Never. We mustn't consider and think, well, I've got plenty of time for this, plenty of time for that. Let it never enter the mind, dear friends. An important truth is here shown to us. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Many born into this world and shall experience and very clearly this corporeal death, but through the Adam fall that is in us a spiritual death and an eternal death, is the solemn truth. And it will be our mercy if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is teaching us to feel our need of Jesus, our need of one to come to us, to come to our help, to come to our cause and our case, as we may be able prayerfully to commit it to him, you see, that he might come and do something for us, make his work of grace in our souls effectual and powerful to change us and to renew us. So this is a divine appointment. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, we are all appointed then to death. I want to open up the blessing of the truth of those that are born into this world and born with that wretched heart that we've sung about. If the Lord ever shows you that heart, dear friends, it will break up the fallow ground. It will lay us low, humble us, and we will cry. We'll cry to him. We'll cry for mercy. It will be a mercy if we're brought to cry and shed tears of sorrow, godly sorrow for sin. It is clear then to us. I just thought of this word as well, that in the first of Peter, in chapter 1, and it's the last two verses, and we have almost the same thing here. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And it speaks of that death, dear friends, again. The shortness and the brevity of life. And we may just, I read that Psalm 39. And this truth, "Lord, make me to know mine end." Is it a prayer with us? Because we are going to come to the end of our days. But Lord, make me to... He didn't want to know the exactness of the days that he would live here upon the earth. He knew he didn't know that. But he wanted to know his end, dear friends. He says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am." You know, it will bring us to Jesus. If we are brought to this state, to see how frail we are, and that our days are but few upon the earth, and they are. Because, dear friends, we can't measure eternity. Cannot measure eternity. "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee." You see, and handbreadth isn't much, is it? That's how he saw his days. But few, short. But what a mercy. In Psalm 90, Moses says in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now then, dear friends, there is wisdom here if the Lord will help me to open up one or two truths in respect of ourselves and the glory of what it is to be one with Jesus. And that is what we want, isn't it? To be one with Jesus. But what is it teaching us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom? I'll just show you one as an example, and then there are many other things, but I'll just show you one as an example, and it's from the word and the writing of a very gracious man, even Paul. But he was one that said this. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss." You see, he counted everything but loss. And he didn't see anything good in himself. No, but everything but loss, dear friends. Because, dear friends, nothing could ever be compared to what he's going to say here. But loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, dear friends, that is applying our hearts unto wisdom. And it doesn't mean to say that I might know Christ by way of salvation. He was already a redeemed soul, dear friends. But what does he say? The excellency of the knowledge that he might win Christ. Why? A crown of righteousness was awaiting for him, you see, that I might know Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is how he wanted to know his Christ, dear friends. He wanted everything fixed in his poor soul, dear friends, that it was right with him and his end would be a good end. That is what he wanted to know, that he might win Christ. He's going out after him. Are you going out after Christ, dear friends? Are you seeking Christ? Or is there an indifference upon our spirit? Do we continue through our day and our course, day and night and evening? Dear friends, how much time, dear friends, do we consider our never dying souls? And dear friends, how much time for Jesus? Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. And it isn't as though Paul didn't know Jesus, but he wanted to come into the blessedness of those things again and again and again. Further testimony, further witness in his soul, dear friends, that is applying our hearts unto wisdom. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Ah, now this is the blessing, dear friends. Yes, we shall a determined time for our lives here below, but there's something here, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And if we've got a little bit of that in our poor souls, dear friends, then that will be our mercy. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, may the Lord favour us with his word. We've got something, dear friends, settled in our poor hearts, that it will be well with us against that day. In the gospel, dear friend, there is a sure foundation laid. It's in the further words of our text. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, oh, we must all appear before him, dear friends. And we must, an accountability of everything in our hearts and in our lives, dear friends. And there will be nothing missed out. Nothing overlooked. You can't think that you can do anything in secret and think, dear friends, that it hasn't been seen. You know, the iniquities of Ephraim was hidden. The sins of Ephraim was hidden, you see. They were hidden to them, but they weren't hidden from God. You see, they weren't hidden from God. He knew their sins. Now this is the mercy here, this judgment. I just quote another word in respect of this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Must all, and we will all see him. Every eye shall see him. He will come. He will be the judge of the whole earth. And it will be the greatest assize to sit upon the earth. But after this, the judgment. And this judgment is that time when the Lord shall appear again upon the earth. And he is coming again. Now this verse 28, because it begins with so, it's an analogy. In other words, it's a likeness. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He laid down his life, dear friends. This is the analogy. He laid down his life. He passed through the regions of death. But oh, let us just understand this wonderful truth, dear friends. What it was for. What he should do and what he should accomplish through his sufferings and his death at Calvary. Dear friends, he is that one who came, went forth to be found in the room and place of his people. And that means an elect world, you see. And this word offered. Oh, wasn't it in love? It was an offering, a sacrifice. And it was in love. It was an offering in a willingness. And it was an offering, dear friends, fulfilling the will of his heavenly Father, that he should suffer, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. This many is a remnant through grace, the elect world. Just a few scattered here and there, but everyone known of God from before the foundation of the world. He knew his own, he loved them, elect and chosen them and gave them to Jesus. And here, Jesus, we have this witness that he laid aside his glory, that he came in the nature of the children, except sin. It was a pure and holy offering, a perfect offering, and that was Jesus essentially. We may say the God-man mediator. Corruption cannot put away corruption. It couldn't be in anybody, in a body like our own. It couldn't be. It was in a, you know, his birth into this world was an immaculate birth. That holy thing that shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And it was a pure and a holy sacrifice, a holy offering. Because, dear friends, his heavenly Father took all of our sins and iniquities and he laid them upon him. And it had to be a pure and a holy sacrifice and offering. And he bare the sins and the iniquities of us all. I like that word in the first epistle of Peter, the second book, the 24th verse of the second chapter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. His own self. This was the offering. He bare them away. And God the Father is able to say, and I will remember their iniquities no more. Washed away, blotted out as a thick cloud. All our transgressions, and as a cloud our sins, blotted out. This is the mercy. And Christ, he was one indeed that truly did come. And in this offering, remembering, dear friends, the truth of this offering, his love for the souls of his people, his love for everyone that his heavenly Father gave to him. Oh, dear friends, upon the tree and in every bruise upon his body, the stripes, the nails, the crown of thorns, the cruelty, and all his bones out of joint. His visage so marred more than any man's. See this forlorn man in such a wretched state upon the cross. An ignominious death, a shameful death. He was numbered with the transgressors. And you know, all that were hung upon a tree, they were treated so maliciously. Nothing careful was done, dear friends. Nothing careful was done. And this is Jesus. See what he endured. What he passed through. For the great love that he hath for the souls of his people. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But what about this, the sins of many? That surely, that must be something that will have an interest in our poor souls. Is he thy only hope, dear friends? Is my poor soul one of these here that could be numbered amongst this many? Really, it's a few, but is my poor soul one of these? Jesus, did thou come to suffer, bleed and die for my sins, to put them away forever, that I should forever be thine? You know, the dying thief saw it, and he was in the, as it were, the 11th hour of his life, wasn't he? Few more moments and he would be gone. But dear friends, this truth here, 27 and 28 come together. He was a dying man, but he found mercy. His sins were discovered to his conscience through the Spirit of the Lord. And he was brought to beg mercy from that dear man beside him. That crippled man. See his faith. See how his only hope was fixed in him and him alone. Is it thy hope? You see, he was brought to cry, wasn't he? Brought to cry, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord had taught him. Taught him his need as a sinner. Oh, but dear friends, gave him repentance and drew him to Christ for mercy. His faith was fixed in that dying man beside him. But there was his salvation and he knew it. His only salvation. There was none other but him. Is Jesus thy only hope, thy only salvation for thy soul? There isn't any other. No. What a mercy to be one of this many. Today, should thou be with me in paradise? Oh, the blessing came. Oh, that man. You know, dear friends, when we pass through this earthly scene, dear friends, into tracks unknown, oh, dear friends, what is it that we want? It's peace, isn't it? Peace in our consciences, peace in our souls, dear friends, and peace with God. Peace with God. Simeon, the Lord appeared to him and showed to him that he should not see or taste death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Is that your case, dear friends? What a mercy if that were a word for thee and for thy soul. And it was true, wasn't it? Providentially, they both came together in the temple. And he raised dear Jesus, that holy child, in his arms. This is the offering. Oh, this was the offering. This was the sacrifice, Simeon is saying. This dear child, this holy child, Jesus in his arms. He was his only hope. Now, let us thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, it can go in peace. And that is what we want, dear friends. We can face death, dear friends. We can stare it, as it were, in the face because of this peace. That was the truth with Simeon. Peace. Oh, dear friends, his end was a good end. Glory to God through Jesus Christ. So what a mercy to be one of this many. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and he laid down his life willingly, voluntarily. This was the offering, willingly, voluntarily, and lovingly for all of his dear people. And he gave up the ghost, cried, "It is finished." The work was done. And when that work was done, dear friends, a wonderful truth. I just read it. Isaiah 53. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." Dear friends, he will see the church. He will see the seed. And dear friends, when Jesus gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished," the church was safe and secure in that very moment. Every one of them, from the beginning of time to the end of time, was safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. "He shall see his seed." This, dear friends, is the heavenly seed, the seed of promise. the church. This is Zion, the church, and with God, you see. And then this truth, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What a mercy. In the room and place of the sinner, made intercession. And you know, dear friends, not only were all our sins put upon Jesus to wash away forever, but with this wicked heart here, dear friends, that we've sung together, it was due to the divine just judgment of God, dear friend, the wrath of God. And Jesus came and satisfied divine justice. Satisfied it. Because of his offering and his sacrifice. Well-pleasing to the Father. Saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And then the holy law of God, and which we break so many times, Jesus honoured it by fulfilling it in us as though we had never broken it. Oh, such is this wonderful offering to bear the sins of many. Oh, dear friends, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Just this word, dear friends. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you seeking him? Do you want to know him as your all and in all? Do you want to know that mercy that saves sinners from all their sins? Do you want to know him, dear friends, in this divine offering? When Jesus, he put the sins and the iniquities by one offering forever. He says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, the gospel is preached today. And dear friends, where this analogy comes in here, you see, we're appointed unto death. Well, divinely so, Jesus was. That was the work that he came to do and to fulfill regarding his heavenly Father, but for his people, to lay down his life for them. And so should enter into death, you see. And it was through his sufferings and death, dear friends, that all the sins of the church were washed away. But through the gospel that is preached today, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He rose again. Well, isn't this true here? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, everybody's going to rise again. For that judgment. All those that are in the graves, dear friends, those that are on the earth, they will all come to that judgment seat, rise again. Well, this is the analogy here. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. But first, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is risen, and he is now gathering in today. And we've had the good news, haven't we, of late? Twos and threes, dear friends, coming forth. Oh, the gospel has been preached, the effect of the word, dear friends. It taught and shown men and women that they're sinners. And there's only one blessed and glorious gift of our God, and that is Jesus, His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And dear friends, this will go forth till the end of time. That is what this is saying here. Look for him. He shall appear again the second time. Until this time, the gospel is preached. And here must be hope for sinners. The only hope. What a mercy it is to find this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think, if my mind is right, in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5 it says here, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel." Oh, that gospel that holds hope in the gospel. It is good news of salvation, dear friends. Oh, you know, just come. I know that when I was drawn, I came with all my wretched undone state. Oh, my life appeared to me in a moment of time. All the terrible sins, the way that I'd walked and conducted myself in my life, all came up upon my conscience and rendered me guilty. And for 3 weeks, dear friends, I was begging, crying. And I had a little hope. Dear friends, the Lord will not convince and convict of sin, dear friends, without showing one indeed wherein there is hope. No. And there is a hope in Jesus. My only hope was in him. And this is the hope that I've just spoken of. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Well, dear friends, the gospel is preached. Salvation is preached. Redemption through the precious blood of Jesus, the pardon and forgiveness of sins is preached. For he is a prince and a saviour for to give repentance to Israel for the forgiveness of sins. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When the Lord Jesus will appear the second time, dear friends, when it says without sin, it means that the gospel dispensation has come to a close. The fountain of Christ's precious blood will be closed up. There will be no more offering and sacrifice for sin through Jesus. That is what it means. Look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin? He won't come, dear friends, the second time to put away sin. He came the first time to do that. When the second time comes, the gospel dispensation will have come to an end. And we do not know when that will come to an end. We see in the earth today, dear friends, so many things that he has asked us to look for and watch for and to pray over. And we've never seen so much of it being accomplished today. All the evil and the wickedness and wars and rumours of wars, the troubles and the strife in all the earth, the earthquakes and the tsunamis and everything, all together. And remember, dear friends, that this dear man that was fastened upon the tree at Calvary, he is the creator of the heaven and the earth, and he is governing and ruling and reigning today. And he will bring us to this time. Look for him. And that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But there'll be a lot fleeing to the rocks, dear friends, in that time. The solemn truth. But he will come the second time. I just quote it because the disciples, dear friends, they were not to stay and be looking amazed at the Lord Jesus going into heaven and in the cloud, but they were those indeed that were to behold the truth of this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And dear friends, what a wonderful time and season it will be for the church. They will not be judged, dear friends. Their sins have been hidden. They will stand whole and complete in a righteousness not their own. That is the blessing in that day. We sang something of the righteous ones in our first hymn. But dear friends, it's a glorious robe that Christ alone has wrought for every one of his dear people, and faith will put that robe on. Oh, it will. And it can never be taken off, dear friends. We might feel our wretched hearts, but that robe can never be taken off. No, this is the mercy, isn't it? Jesus knows that we don't want to sin against him. He knows. But we're so poor and weak, we're taught it. But this is the wonderful truth, isn't it? That where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Dear friends, I've had a lot of comfort from that word for a year or two now, because all the corruptions of my heart still swell up, dear friends, still ooze out. And yet that blessed and glorious cross of Jesus, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It will be a glorious time. The church shall be forever with him. And dear friends, faith will give way to sight. We will see this blessed and glorious Lamb of God in the midst of the throne and behold him as our great salvation. And we will enter into that peace that Simeon was blessed with. And we do believe the dying thief, must have been blessed with peace. The promise, dear friends, of paradise was given to him. And we shall all come there. Yes, the church will come there. These many that was given to Jesus. Oh, they will see him. Thine eyes shall behold the King in his beauty. Well, dear friends, we'll have to close because our time is gone. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, help us to take heed of these things. Remembering this, there's mercy with Jesus. His gospel is preached today. And dear friends, death. Jesus has abolished death. And it's a big word that, he has abolished death, put it away forever. Meaning that to say that it's made it non-existent, death, because we will rise again, body and soul together, dear friends, and forever be with him. Oh, it was abolished. Oh, may the Lord put these blessings into our poor hearts by his Spirit. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with part of hymn number 312. We'll sing the first two verses and from verse 7 to the end. 312, ye tempted souls reflect, whose name 'tis you profess, your master's lot you must expect, temptations more or less. In 312, verses 1 and 2, and verse 7 to the end.
Thy word, this evening, may it be to the glory of thy name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.